You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to the Friday final day of the week show. I know everyone's at the women's basketball game. At least 10,000 of them are. I just saw a video as they start the game right here and right now at 6 o'clock. In with me today is my tax write-off, Matt Moreno. How are you?
Glad to be back, Steve.
And the other side of the glass, my boy Tom, my...
Yes, sir, Steve. Good to see you again. Twice this week. How about that?
Christmas came late for me.
Or early for 2020. I don't know. So 10,000 for the
looks
game.
Looks like it. It's pretty
for
packed.
For the ladies. How about packed. That, huh?
Yeah, there'll probably be a final count later on. Obviously, it'll be a final count later on, but it looked pretty packed right now. Who would have thought this when you first got here, Moreno, 10 years ago?
That the women's team would be...
Yes, more popular.
More popular, no, more exciting.
They're not more popular.
No, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a big deal. Obviously, last year it started with their run in the women's NIT, and I went to the final game, the championship game of that tournament, and it was amazing to see. I mean, to see the kind of support. I think you've mentioned it a few times, whether here or other places, the type of fan that goes to that went to that tournament and kind of showed up is different, mm-hmm. I think, than a lot of other sports, and different for them, obviously, than they're just the average fans who are invested throughout the season. But to get that crowd to now show up for a regular season game is a big deal and kind of shows the strides that Adia Barnes is making and that program is making right now.
Yeah, no question. I went to a game about 6 weeks ago. Didn't have that same feel, obviously, because it was not as much excitement because it was the WNIT. But I'm sure tonight's going to be really rocking and rolling. And it's just a different crowd, you know, rather than the stuffy people that go watch the basketball team play.
The men's team?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
The men's basketball.
More rock, more what you would hope for.
Yeah, the music, not so much the kid. There's a lot of little kids, you know, having fun and walking in the court and all that stuff. But it's a loud crowd,
yeah,
crazy
loud
crowd.
Excitement, all those things. And I think there's obviously moments like that for the men's team, but mm-hmm. overall, they'll do that in spurts and then kind of sit back down and settle into
where
their
chairs. Where did you go to Long Beach State?
Long Beach State.
How many people went to games there? A couple, grand, not, couple thousand,
including me, about seven.
Seven, and you, because yeah, you went to work.
Yeah.
Seven. Okay. And what other schools did you go to see play?
Not many. They didn't. They were a team that scheduled. They still do schedule very difficult, and they go on the road to a lot of places. So I didn't really make many of those trips. Wasn't in the budget for me, Steve. But
you're talking about men's and women's.
Men's. Yeah. Yeah. They played a lot of the top teams in the country, and would go on the road to play those teams. Obviously, in guarantee games where you get paid to, you know, show up and get beat pretty badly. But
where was the best place? Outside of Arizona, where's been the best place
for me? Just overall in games, San Diego State for me.
I think that
was maybe the Arizona game. I think it was maybe the 2013 season non-conference play. Mm-hmm. They had a non-conference game there at Viejas, and it was. I mean, that's maybe the most fun I've had covering a game. They're both ranked.
Yeah, because the students are going kind of crazy.
Students are crazy. The way the arena is, it's
like a bowl.
I think smaller than McHale, but
it's a bowl,
but the way it feels, it just feels like everyone is so on top of you.
Right.
And it just feels like a massive arena, even though it's. I think McHale's a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is great. Obviously, two ranked teams and a lot of talent for both of those teams. I believe Aaron Gordon was on that team, and for Arizona and
Nick Johnson,
just a lot of talent on the floor and. Everybody playing at a high level. It wasn't a game where it was a letdown. It lived up to what you had hoped it would be.
So that place, it's hard to compete. In the West, it's hard because there aren't very many great teams. Gonzaga, Washington, Oregon. Great team. Great's not the right word. Very good teams. Gonzaga, Washington, Oregon, St. Mary's, UCLA. Even when they were good, their crowd wasn't that great. Who else do I go to? Utah, maybe. But I was going to say, in terms of craziness, Arizona doesn't rank in craziness.
No.
It ranks in people attending the game, watching the game, doing their little golf clap, and then going home.
Yeah. I mean, you see the difference when the students aren't around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
During that winter break, and it's a different crowd. And I don't know. It's interesting. I think fans think of themselves in a different way, but the ones who get to, it's kind of like Lakers games or any, you know, Warriors games, things like that, where a lot of people have been priced out. The true fans, you know, want to go to these games, but they've been priced out and they just can't afford it. And, you know, you have the crowd that's there for, you know, schmoozing and kind of seeing their friends.
Well, they can afford it.
Yeah.
They're the ones that, who can afford it. Yeah. No, true fans, that's a good word, I guess. They're fans too. The fans that I have an issue with, and we're going to kind of talk about a lot of different things. The game, the women's game, did you take it down, Tom? I know they had a 3-0 lead early, but if you can keep that up just for a while. The true fans, where was I going with this? So Facebook, you know people, your message boards.
Yeah.
So those, to me, I could be totally wrong. You have a lot of people on the message boards, right? Speaking their mind, giving their opinion, doing whatever they do on those message boards. Which, what do they do? They rag a lot.
Yeah.
They complain. Praise too?
Yeah, absolutely.
So do these guys have tickets, one, to the game? I would assume that you would know some of the people. Have tickets to the game? Do they go to the games? Do they just complain about it because they're fans? Or do they just have emotional investment? Because to me, they don't have any financial investment in terms of giving $5,000, $10,000, $20,000.
Right. No. I mean, for fans that are, you know, people on my website, a lot of them, I think, wish they could. And if they were here, they would go to a lot of the games. And
They're on the road. They're not from here.
Most of the time. And I think that's why they want to have that connection. So they subscribe to a site like mine and kind of feel like they are connected in a way that's different than the average kind of fan.
Right.
And so I think for a lot of them, they would. And if they go, if Arizona happens to play wherever they're at, most of the time you'll see it. They'll come on our boards and, you know, talk about it. Say, hey, I went to the Baylor game. I'm in Texas. I went to the Baylor game, whatever. Yeah. Wherever it is. But I think, no, they're not invested like we're talking about them being invested.
Well, because I see it on Facebook all the time. You see it on Facebook as well. All these people just ragging the team or this and that. And everybody has a right to do that because it's what we do or what they do. But I think it's, you know, if you don't really like the team, don't follow them. If you're investing in them financially, I get it. I get the complaints. But if you're just kind of there, you know, they can't play, Sean sucks, whatever. They have nothing invested. To me, that's weird. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's the kind of difference between us and people who are just the regular fans, I think, though, in terms of just...
They have something invested?
Yeah. No. I'm saying in terms of the... You're saying it's weird, but I also think it's weird to us because of our jobs and what we do.
Oh, yeah, sure. And weird's not the right word. It's kind of like... Come on, really? It's that upsetting to you that you're going to rag like crazy? Because that's what they do. Some of it's anonymous, some of it's not. Some of the usernames say, oh, these guys are horrible.
It's college sports especially. It feels less so to me in the professional ranks when guys are getting paid, and it just feels more like a business where this, I think they think there's supposed to be something different about this type of game, so it means more. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they're entitled to do whatever they do. I just find it kind of, if you're emotionally invested, do you know what you do? Get out. Turn off the TV, get up and have some fun. Yeah, that's like me. My Mondays are great because I don't care about who wins or loses on Sunday. I mean, it's just what it is. You know, I get it. People are upset about it. If you're upset, get off.
Yeah.
Don't watch. Don't watch. Don't be emotionally invested. If you're financially invested, I get it. You'd be upset about it.
Well, Facebook kind of became social media kind of became the bar. Where you feel like you can, that's where you go to, you know, vent your frustrations.
Yeah,
and these things would be normally just be between, you know, a couple people at a bar talking about things and seeing, you know, highlights on TV or whatever. But now it's broadcast to everybody.
And I'm sure you've seen on your website and Facebook as well that there's a lot of sports writers out there and analysts.
A lot of offensive coordinators, a lot of general managers.
Right. Leave it to the professionals.
Yeah.
Maybe. What's the score here? 6-2, Arizona. First 4 minutes, we'll see what happens here. Now, that's the one thing. I don't have my clock here. Let's go to take a break. Are we going to take a break, I guess? I looked at my clock. We good? Let's take a quick break, Tom. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And in with me is Matt Moreno of Go AZ Cats. I say your last name better than I say mine.
I was just thinking that. I said, I was thinking I'm never going to be able to say it better than you do.
Well...
my own name.
You could probably say Rivera better than I can. busy week at U of A because of the best baseball team starting up. Press conference today. You were there. I was not. We'll talk about that. The softball team starts here in a couple of weeks. We were both at the press situation yesterday, and then yesterday at the men's basketball press conference. Let's start with baseball today because I wasn't there. How was that? And it was it the original? Was it the first one?
First scrimmage of.
But was there a media day, or this is the media?
No, this is kind of the media day.
Only three players talked?
It wasn't a true media. I think it was kind of not impromptu, but it was just a media session. Oh, okay. It wasn't built as a media day.
Oh, okay. How was it?
It was okay. A lot of players are going to, hold back on what they say just because it is the start of the season. But I think it feels like this team kind of built off their finish of last year, and, they're ranked now. And
right.
Understand that it's going to come with some more pressure, but I think everything still is centered around the pitching. And I still today, just listening to Jay Johnson when he was answering questions about the pitching, I asked him about the pitching a little bit, and I don't know that there was a ton of confidence in, this is going to be a good group now. I still think there's, just be good enough, and with the offense they have, because they have a lot of returning players, a lot of players who did a lot of good things at the plate last year are back. And you would expect that they're going to be able to continue and maybe even build on what they did last year offensively. So they're going to score a lot of runs, but they haven't really made a ton of additions in terms of pitching, and they don't have, the superstar pitcher at the front of the rotation. So it might be an adventure in terms of the pitching. Jay Johnson today talked a lot about their defense and that he feels like their defense is very, very good. So that eliminates kind of some of the pressure on the pitchers to have to be perfect.
I heard it wasn't that good last year, the defense.
It was bad at times. There's a lot of errors, mm-hmm. a lot of mistakes. But he feels very good, I think, about where the defense is, and in terms of just the speed and the players in the right positions. And I think he's hopeful that can pick up the slack for maybe the talent at the pitching position.
I don't know why I just lost his name, but he pitched here at U of A while back. Arias, is he on the roster?
I'd have to double check.
I think it's Arias. Yeah. Yeah, pitched last year.
Yeah.
Okay, because. He was one of the pitchers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he struggled a little bit, I think.
They all did.
They all did.
There was nobody that was really a standout person, a standout pitcher.
I hope to have his dad back on the show. What's the name of the game?
Yeah.
Pitching.
Yeah, and that's why you spend the money you do on one of the top pitching coaches in the country. And
right.
The thing that I think most fans expect when that happens is the switch is going to flip, and he's still working with the same pitchers for the most part. He brought in some new arms and some new pieces, but... the core group is still going to be Arizona guys that they've had, on the roster last year.
So wouldn't you apply that to football if you have a defensive coordinator?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And
said it with a reason.
How did Lorenzo Romar do when he came here?
Yeah. It's still, at the end of the day, you have to work with what you're given. And
right. I'm as good-looking as I'm going to get there, Moreno. I could get a makeup dude and a makeup artist, and guess what? I'm still...
You don't already have one?
Look at this. And this is what they came up with? Oh, I need to fire him. Or her. That's not good. Or shave more or something. By the way, we have this on YouTube, so beware.
Yeah.
Beware. Okay, so that's all that needs to be said about baseball so far right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's still
too early.
Yeah, and that's kind of the gist of what was going on with the media session was, I think I know some things, but I won't know for a few more weeks.
Sure, yeah. What do we know? Nothing right now.
Yeah.
In softball, though, that's a little bit different. You kind of know because you have some stud pitchers or two. Returning lineup of, 11?
Across the board.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty solid.
That's what an elite team looks like in any sport.
Right.
You have a ton of players you're returning.
You build.
Who are already good and are now going to reach kind of the peaks of their careers.
Mm-hmm.
You supplement, someone who left, a pitcher who left, who was very good, with another one who's very good. And it just, that's how you want to build a team. And if you're going to, in this world of transfers and people going from bouncing from school to school, Mike Kendrea has built a very, very good team, an elite team.
Right.
And when you go through their order, when you go through their roster, there's not a lot of holes. And that's what you want, because you need everything working in your favor to win a championship. And that's what the talk is going to be about this season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They got back. They got that taste last year of being back to the World Series after a long stretch of being gone. That always helps with experience and confidence and all that stuff. What's the number one thing you think when you become I was going to ask this to Sean the other day, to become a very good athlete, elite athlete, kind of the good ones we write about, what's the number one priority to get you there outside of talent? Because we know you have to have talent, and we've seen people squander talent.
Yeah.
So let's just not even talk about that.
My natural kind of thought process goes to work ethic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I wouldn't.
But that can only take you so far.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, and we were talking, he was asked about TJ McConnell this week. To me, that's work ethic. That's maybe we're selling short his talent, but I don't think that's talent. That, to me, that's work ethic and just wanting to get to that level and stay at that level.
It's also IQ.
Yeah.
IQ, because he's, it's funny because when Sean was talking him up at his senior year, blah, 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 they're going to miss on him. What did you think when he was talking about that?
He's saying all these things for his guy.
His guy, did you think that he's full of it?
Not completely, but I still thought he was embellishing, because what else is he going to do? He's not going to.
Well, he didn't do that for Trier. He didn't do that for anybody else because they have the talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, TJ, I was going to ask him yesterday when he started talking about that. I says, you know, what do you say to the people that kind of didn't believe anything he said 5 years ago?
I was thinking that I didn't believe what he said.
I don't think anybody did. Even me, I understood what he was trying to do. Obviously, talk him up and get him a spot or at least a tryout, because he didn't go to the combine.
No, and that's the other thing is I think he doesn't feel the need to do that with guys who have the talent,
right,
and have shown the production, that it's a no-brainer.
Right.
DeAndre Ayton's a no-brainer. He can't talk mm-hmm. up DeAndre Ayton any more mm-hmm. than he has to. But TJ is one of those guys that, again, he didn't go to the combine. He's not on the top of anybody's leaderboards. He's someone that you have to kind of give
acquired taste.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's like a Pritchard guy. No. And 5 years later, he's making tons of money.
Yeah, and doing a lot better than a lot of guys who.
I was just gonna say, just who came through with five stars.
Yeah,
yeah. He is the true Scooby three star.
Yeah,
you know, because Scooby didn't make it.
Right,
and this guy is making it.
And people blame us for that. I saw that a lot lately.
Blame what?
Not us, but just the recruiting rankings. Not for TJ, but I'm just saying in general that, oh, you guys got it wrong because the stars were wrong. A lot of teams missed too.
On who?
On guys like TJ McConnell or whoever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but you can't. It's funny. Who was the guy? Somebody said, Curry. When Curry came on the scene, how come Arizona did? How come this? Everybody. You can't teach what he knows. That's why he went to Davidson, I think it was.
Yep.
He went to Davidson, and he was a skinny little kid who you didn't think was going to be that guy. That's all on them.
How about his career early in the NBA? He wasn't on this pace when he was just starting out.
Right.
Some guys just take time to develop.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the most difficult part, and why there are so many kind of quote-unquote misses in terms of recruiting, in terms of franchises, NBA franchises, professional teams. When they do their evaluations,
misses. Go ahead. Good. I'll let you.
We're looking at these players so much earlier that they just don't have time. If you're not an elite level prospect in basketball by the time you're a sophomore, you're going to get overlooked, and you're just going to be discounted because of you know, you weren't that guy. You weren't a five star. You weren't elite level when you were a sophomore. So you're not going to be good ever.
Sure, sure. And they have that small window of opportunity because.
Yeah. And then everybody starts, the talent evaluators start focusing on the group that did shine as sophomores, which is not, that's not normal. That's abnormal.
Mm.
Normal is to be better by the time you're a senior in high school or whatever, sometimes a sophomore in college.
I think there's more misses on overreaches than there are on underreaches. Does it make sense? You'll miss more on the big time guys than you will on the lower end guys. And I'll say this by a couple guys. Who was here? God, I'm getting old. The guy who took over for Trier when Trier was out. He was from Atlanta.
Kobe Simmons?
Kobe Simmons. Okay, so five-star guy?
Yep.
How'd that turn out?
He's in the NBA.
He, from time to time.
Right.
But guys like that, and I mean, Ashley got hurt, so you never really know. Grant Jarrett, what was he?
He might have been a five-star.
Four or five-star, okay.
Very high four-star.
So my point is, there's more of those overreaches where they come on the scene, you're going to be here a year or 2 years, and then go make tons of money.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen. So there's more mistakes on that end, would you say?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
The difficult part of the process is, and it's something that I'm not the one making these decisions. I can have input and have a voice and say, hey, I've seen this guy. I think he deserves a better ranking. But there's no guarantee that the people who make these decisions, mm-hmm. at least at Rivals, are going to listen to me. They watch a lot of these guys themselves. They take their own evaluations into account. The thing you have to decide when you're thinking of rankings and stars and all this stuff is, are you ranking them based on their potential one day? Or are you ranking them based on what they are right now?
But it's like today's story, the star, and we were in the press conference with the Terry.
Yeah.
What does it matter? He's not a...
Right.
It does matter in the grand scheme of things to him, or for whatever reason, and everybody wants to be that guy. But what does it matter?
Right.
If he's good, guess what? He's good.
And And there's a guy like that on the roster, Zeke Nagy. He didn't get to make the McDonald's team. He's going to end up getting drafted and probably have a better NBA career than a lot of guys who went to that McDonald's game.
No question. I think those are overstated awards and all that. And everybody, and they're not sure.
It's a feather in the cap of the coach and the feather in the cap of the program. And that's why it matters.
Wouldn't winning be more of a feather in the cap?
Absolutely.
Let's take a break here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, and we're in with Matt Moreno of Go Azy Cats, watching the women's basketball game as well. Arizona's up 13-12 with 6:55 left in the second quarter. So, Matt, who were some of the biggest busts that in the last 10 years?
Well, as we were talking about off air, I still think I gravitate toward Emmanuel Aycott. Mm-hmm. I believe at one point he was a top 10 recruit before he reclassified.
How does that happen?
That's the ultimate kind of debate that I was talking about before, was potential versus what he is now.
What did he show potentially?
I watched him a few times before he got here, and you said, okay, I can see it one day, which is what I think Sean Miller and a lot of people saw, was, okay, one day I think he's going to be very good.
What did he show?
Just different elements, and you a guy that tall who can handle the ball a little bit and, you know, do some point guard-like things and get to the basket and all those things, and it just never came to fruition at Arizona. But to me, I thought he's going to be more than what he gave Arizona, which was just kind of a guy out there.
Right. No, he was not. I can't remember a player or a moment that really said, you know, wow, this guy has potential.
Well, that's the other thing, too. That could be a measuring stick as well, is what Emmanuel Aycott moment do you remember?
Not a single one. Okay, so let's go here. What about Caleb Tarzewski?
So he was number 9. I just looked that up.
Caleb?
Yeah.
Oh, so you know that that was definitely a bust.
Yeah.
In my time before that, I think maybe Mustafa, who came in with his great, great reputation and just didn't do what I think that people thought he could do.
I brought up Josiah Turner.
In his first year, Sean's first year.
Yeah.
Which, of course, yeah, he had just issues. He had issues. I'm sure he's not even playing the game anymore.
Yeah.
I just saw, what was it? Because Aaron Gordon's finally taking off. He's taking off more than ever.
Yeah.
He's like 23. He's like 24. How old is he? 24?
Yeah. He's got to be, I mean, around that age.
I mean, come on. That's my son's age. And I'm thinking, holy moly, my sons need to step up their game. Got to make about $10-15 million a year. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with them? No, but he's fantastic. And obviously, did you see Markkanen get hurt today?
Yeah, I saw something about it real quick.
Yeah, Markkanen's got, which I think he's still one of the best players ever here.
That's the difficult part, is it's so hard to really know what these guys are going to do and what their game is going to be, because they're here for blink and you miss them.
Yeah, we don't know. Let me ask you something. So someone asked me this. Somebody asked me this yesterday, the day before. Are you close to players? You have a cool job. Are you close to players? And I said, I've been here 30 years. I have a lot of friends from the Lute Olson time here. But in the last 10, I couldn't call one to say, want to come on the show? Honestly, they wouldn't even know who the heck I am.
To me, that hasn't happened on accident.
Very, very well stated. One guy would be TJ. I've talked to his agent a few times, him a few times, so he knows me. But the rest of the guys, I don't know anybody. You? Well, you don't, because you...
To a certain extent, but I mean, it's like any player that you know in high school, and I'm sure you've talked to guys before they got here, and they get here and it's something different. They turn into somebody else, which is natural. It's college and all that. But there's still guys that maybe I can call and get a comment from now and there. But I think for the most part, they all go on and do other things. And a lot of the guys that I'm talking to are guys that, you know, are in the NBA. So they're not concerned about talking to the guy from Go Azy Cats.
Right. But if you had a relationship, you know when they will be? When they're done?
Yeah.
When they're done doing all that stuff and become normal like you and I. Because
Just
like us, you know, except with more money. Because that's what happens with a lot of the people. Oh, can you do me this? Can you do me the favor for this? Whatever. But so any more misses? Big misses?
I don't know if you throw Grant Jarrett in there.
Yeah, I kind of do. He was here for 1 year. Just didn't want to be here.
Yeah. I mean, that's when you leave that early.
No reason. No, I don't know if it's any. That's not true. For an unstated reason or for whatever reason, you just go.
Yeah.
Was it that painful? Holy crap!
For some guys, maybe it is.
Yeah. Okay. I think that would be it. You look at me like
I know. I'm trying to think. I'm just trying to think. Well, it just reminded me that you said, was it that painful? And then we were talking about the video that got put out this week about practice.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not really how it is.
Yeah. It was good, though. We'll see what happens. So what do you think about the game tomorrow?
It's going to be interesting.
Interesting? Really?
I don't know. I just think it's – I don't know if Arizona's going to get in his head too much about road games and, like, we haven't done well in road games and be thinking about, no, this is the road game they can win. So they I don't know. It's an interesting game from that standpoint. I'm interested to see how they show up. And look, they should win. I mean
– we've said that a number of times that they didn't win.
Yeah.
Last year they lost, right?
Yep.
I remember him in the hallway.
Different team, though.
And that was right. They lost.
That was the Brandon Williams – They played hard.
Right. That's when I asked him, are you at least happy with how hard they played? They didn't play hard. Remember he told me they didn't play hard. I'm thinking, oh, really? What game did you watch? But I'm not the coach.
Yeah.
You remember that in the hallway?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, that was a bad question? I don't think so. But that's how it is. The ASU, for some reason, plays them hard up there. I know it's a rivalry game and blah, blah, blah. But during the Lutz time, it was rare that ASU was able to pull one out.
I think it's more competitive. I think we talked about this somewhere, maybe on our show this week or something, but where it's just the environment, I think. It brings out the competitiveness in ASU, and it kind of almost doesn't matter how good they are, how bad they are. It's kind of a competitive game more than normal, and I think that'll be the case again. I don't know that I'm going to expect the same result that that we got here down in Tucson, you know, a couple weeks ago, and where it was just, you could tell that they're just overmatched.
Right.
I think it's going to be more competitive, but Arizona, this is a game Arizona should win.
They just couldn't shoot. I was surprised how bad they were.
Yeah, that was the most surprising thing to me about that game, was that not how well Arizona played in that, maybe even the final score, but just how bad ASU looked in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've been there a few times, right? Ever since you've been here? It's a pretty tough place to play when actually there are ASU people there.
Right, when Arizona shows up.
Right. Oh, that's the only time.
Yeah.
And that silly curtain of distraction, for whatever it's worth.
Yeah, because, I mean, we sit in the press section, and it's right always there. So packed, and I'm like, why do they always have this? And they go, well, it's not always like this. There's not this many people here all the time.
Right, that's true. So we'll see what happens. I think that Arizona will win maybe by 10 or so. You think?
They should. They should.
Yeah. Any shoe will have their runs like they do, and then U of A will pull away. I think Mannion's going to have a good game.
Is it return home?
It's return home, him and Green. What do you think Sean told him in terms of the role thing from 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? So, okay, we're going to change roles. We're going to do this. What do you think he told him?
I still think that his main job, and I still think the main message that Sean Miller is going to try and get to him as much as he can, is just run our team.
Just run our team. I think that's definitely what he told him.
I don't care about you making three-pointers and shooting and taking the last shot. We'll figure that out when we get there. But for you right now, your main objective is run the team. And I need you to do that because we don't have anybody else to do that. I think that was the message from Sean Miller.
Yeah, no question. I think he's done that to a good degree.
Yeah, I think that's right in kind of his wheelhouse. I know everybody is kind of on him about his shooting and poor shooting. And we talked about him taking too many shots. But I think this is more how he's playing right now to me is more realistic and probably more realistic to his future. Obviously, the game in the NBA is a little bit more, it's just different. It probably suits him a little bit better. And everybody can score. Anybody can score 50 points on any night in the NBA, it feels like, and he'll get his points. But I still think the one thing that he does better than a lot of other players in his class and in the college game is just run a team.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way for NBA scouts and franchises looking to build, is if you can just run a team, we'll sign you up. And so I think that's a good thing that Nico has going for him. That's something that was always there and present when he was a high school player, and it's something that is very important right now because, like I said, I know that there's not anybody else that can do what he can do on this roster.
So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate his season to date?
Maybe about a 7.5.
Yeah, I was gonna say about an 8. Maybe, yeah. That bad shooting game, I can't forget who it was, when they got Gonzaga?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a bad mark.
And that was almost, it felt like, because I remember, because I said, we know what we're going to get from Nico in this game, and he went out and had a terrible game, and someone, of course, tweeted back to me and said, oh, really?
Right.
Because I just assumed, that was
a big game.
That was his type of game. That was his type of atmosphere. Right. The Illinois game, he played really well, and that, again, was his type of atmosphere where he's got someone jawing back and forth with him and he gets into it and he always thrives in those situations. But you typically think these are the types of games where he should play well and he's going to play well, but we'll see what happens. And like I said, and Sean really didn't talk about, or he was not concerned about, you know, them being freshmen and going back to their hometown and all that stuff. And I think he's right. And we'll see if that kind of is how it plays out.
So how would you rate Zeke?
That might be,
A nine. 9.25.
Yeah.
He's just dwindling in his percentages, that's all.
Yeah.
Slowly, and which was expected.
Yeah, that's going to happen. I still think the fact that he's been able to keep it up and stay consistent through double teams, through teams knowing who he is, through teams game plan, maybe the second go-around in the Pac-12, maybe things change and he comes back down to earth in a big way. But to me, the consistency that we can talk about a game and go, oh, you know what you're going to get from Zeke on most nights, and it's going to be rare when he doesn't have a strong showing.
And Green.
Probably a 7.5 too.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think
you just haven't seen enough of what he can do.
Yeah.
And which is not, I don't think his game is conducive for Sean's style and the college game.
It fits, it's a weird style for sure. It's definitely something that you have to fit into what you do as opposed to it just fitting in.
Right.
With anybody. It's not one of those players that you go, yeah, you can just drop him on any team and he fits in well. It's definitely different. And again, like Nico, this is kind of who he is. And he's one of those players, again, based on potential, you said he's going to be very good one day if he can, if he can do this. If he can be a three-point shooter consistently and knock down three-point shots and you can count on him, hey, if you pass him the ball and he's open, he's going to make a three. He's not there yet.
Yeah.
He's very athletic. He's a very good defender. All those things are pluses, but to me, he is what he is, and this is a lot of what he showed back in his high school days. And I think you expect, well, maybe at the next, this is one of those things, like I was saying, where you don't get to see this guy develop. Maybe if he's here for 4 years, at the end of his senior year, you go, wow, that's an amazing player because he got it all figured out, got it all dialed in. Now he's on to the NBA as a superstar, but he's going to have to figure that stuff out as he moves along at likely a different level.
Yeah, once he makes this his life, he'll become really, really good.
Yeah.
Shoot, handle.
With him, it's just small tweaks, it feels like. He is who he is. He's going to be always be athletic. He's going to always be a good defender. But, you know, he has to dial in that shot, and then he can be, you know, that next level.
Yeah. Okay, let's take our final break here on 10:30 The Voice. U of A is down 23-17 with a minute left in the second quarter. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And with me is Matt Moreno. The girls or the women are down, what, to 20? What is it scored there, Tom?
23-20.
Oh, so they kind of
Ari, with about a second to play at the end of the half, just dropped a three-pointer from beyond half court.
Yeah, so, oh, really? So maybe they give some momentum? Do you believe in momentum? I bring up that all the time.
Sure.
Why not? Just for today.
Yeah.
So we head to Phoenix tomorrow or Tempe to see the Wildcats. So tell me, let's talk a little football. Let's put our listener in depression. So they got a recruit yesterday.
Yeah.
How's that?
It's a positive move.
I laugh because I know what you're saying. I can read your mind. So does that, where are they ranked in the old 70th?
No, they moved up.
They did?
Yeah.
Well, the other ones, what happened to the other ones ahead of them?
Well, once you kind of get a chance to reevaluate everything, which the staff at Rivals does, and gets a chance to watch more film and get a feel for everybody, they kind of do some changes, and I think a couple guys got moved up a little bit, but so it kind of changes that setting. But I think they're about 55 now.
With up from 70-something? 72?
Well, 70 was early. I think by the end of the early signing period, they're in the low 60s. They're number 10 in the Pac-12 in our rankings.
So who's behind them, Washington State?
Washington State and USC.
Holy, what's going on with USC?
It's tough. They're in a worse spot than Arizona in a lot of ways because...
Coach.
That too, but it's also they're in a recruiting hotbed and they can't get kids to stay home. That's a difficult situation to be in when you have so much talent.
You can't get the guys to stay home and you are the best looking guy in the room.
Right.
In your hometown. That's very bizarre.
They like the guy with the cowboy hat and...
Cowboy hat or somewhere east guy with that accent. How you doing?
Yep.
Come and play with us.
Just means more down there.
Wow. That's a bizarre... Not in your lifetime have you seen this?
No. I mean, USC's always been the place to go for California recruits. It's a lot of the top recruits grew up right around the area. They know the school. It's who they rooted for. They love Reggie Bush and that era. And that's kind of... the age of the kids that are, you know, high school level and college level right now. And
you still find the right coach, they'll come back.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Just like any place, just like U of A.
Right. If they found the right coach here, we talked about this on our show a number of times, and I spoke to a business group earlier this week about this at Arizona, and I said this publicly a few times. Arizona in the Pac-12 realistically, football specific, not basketball, is probably the eighth best school in the conference. It could be worse, could be a little bit better. Maybe, but I would say eighth.
On average.
On average. Better than Washington State, Oregon State, that gets to 10. Depends on the day. It depends on the day. Eighth. And they'll never get better than eighth, maybe. Or could they, if they had somebody huge as a coach?
I think it's more than that. I think they've had people who are huge
no,
in their
coach,
minds.
Coach?
In their, Kevin Sumlin is not huge? He came from an SEC school. There was not a stop
huge.
In between.
Well, now, knowing what I know now, no, of course not. But knowing what you know now, no, of course
right.
not. But even then, I don't know huge. Huge was pretty good. Rich Rod was a name, kind of, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
I'm talking huge. And we know who we're talking about, the Urban Meyers or those guys. Maybe they come after this. And it's not about Arizona. It's about the coach.
Yeah.
That's one of those situations
where you'll never know.
You're right, because that'll never happen. No, and that's a great. I hate you because you turn into me a little, which is a great. It's a good way to look at it because it's. You're right. You'll never know, and everybody out there in your family, why don't they just go get Urban Meyer?
Well, if they just got Urban Meyer,
yeah, right.
Man, would things turn around?
Yeah.
I bet they would.
Right,
but
it ain't happening.
We'll never know.
Right. No, is that what you tell them?
No, because
what you told
I still
me
want
just
them
now?
To subscribe. I don't want them to hate me.
In fact. I'm friends with a guy who's gives me a lot of grief because I haven't been high on the program lately, and because of obvious reasons, the NCAA and things like that. And he keeps saying, "Oh, you know, Sean's still the coach," and he gives me unrealistic fan stuff. And I says, "Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be bad. Not bad, but it's going to be whatever the NCAA happens says." And because he subscribes to one of you guys,
yeah.
And they give him positive affirmation that everything's going to be okay. And I'm not that guy.
No.
So there's a discrepancy.
I try and play it down the line.
In the news I give
yeah.
is different than the people that, you know, you
right.
subscribe to. So you give it more.
Right. And I think there's a large group of people who value that, who appreciate when they're not caught off surprise when somebody is not that good. Or when, you know, a player explodes and is really good, and then it's like, well, yeah, you gave a valid kind of balanced opinion of him, and he turned out to be very good. And so I think people find value in that. And
but they also tell you that you're wrong. And
oh, I've been accused of hating coaches, loving the same coach, and all in between because just of things I've said. But I try and keep it down the line because I think if I was in their shoes and I was on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're going to be a fan, and you're going to have things kind of tinted towards that way, or think more positively of the franchise or program you're rooting for. But also, I would want just shoot me straight and just tell me what's going on, because that is I'll get to the truth easier, and that's ultimately what I want.
I assume you've lost some subscribers because you've been too honest.
Probably.
Yeah,
I mean, it's an
or not definitely.
Who knows? Maybe they're less vocal now. I don't know. People have disappeared at times.
Yeah, then come back.
Yeah.
Well, lucky you. Lucky you. Yeah, I get it, because they want positive stuff and they want affirmation that everything's going to be okay.
I think the people, and not everybody is vocal, and some people will say that, hey, I don't ever really comment, but at this whatever particular topic forced me to comment, even though I've never posted on the message boards. I just kind of view everything and look at everything from behind the scenes. And, but yeah, I mean, I think there's people who, I think the group we have right now on our message boards, and like I said, maybe it's not everybody that's talking, it's maybe only a certain portion, but I think the people are not necessarily on board with me, but I think they appreciate where I come from and how I do things, and I'm not just kind of selling them what they want to hear.
Right.
Because
right,
I do think there's a lot of that
right,
on the other side, where it's just people tell them what they want to hear and they get riled up, and then it's a big letdown when certain things don't go their way.
Right, and what do you think the fans want to hear?
That everything's going to be great. Someone the other day on the message board said, hey, this is kind of the reality of the situation. Because I made a big post about, hey, this is kind of the state of Arizona recruiting with two weeks to go before the early or the regular signing period, and just laid it out there blankly. I don't think this is an amazing class. This is probably not a very memorable class, but it's okay. And people were like, okay, I appreciate that. And some people were like, you got to talk me off the ledge. Everything you said is just so bad, and I don't know. And I don't know about this program, the future. And I said, I mean, I'm just going to tell you what I think.
So they stayed on the ledge, and they haven't jumped yet?
Yeah. I wasn't able to talk them off. But
maybe next year's season will help them. jump off the ledge.
Yeah, or push, or, a little push.
Yeah, because next year it's gonna be tough. We all know that.
Yeah, and that's my thing is sometimes I'll try and say, okay, if everything falls into place, it'll go this way. I have a hard time doing that with this team
right
now. What
could fall into place?
That's the thing. I can't. There's been moments where you go, okay, if Khalil does this, or if whoever X player does this, you could see it going in a positive direction where they have a better season than anticipated. Right now, I just can't find that.
So did you read the story from Justin Spears?
Yes,
and what was your impression of Khalil and his honesty or his candidate or whatever?
He was still guarded in some ways. I don't think they were 100% true. He talked about things and circumstances that, you know, go on and impacted the way he performed, but he didn't really elaborate much on what those things were, and maybe he's not going to do in that kind of context and that form, but I don't know. I don't know that he's ever really going to tell his side of the story and be truthful about it. And hey, I think part of that is just not wanting to take full ownership of certain things and being able to just say it was other things, it was injuries, it was other things. And we'll see if that ever happens. But
the injury card he can play, because it happened a lot.
Yeah. I think it happens, and I think it's happened a lot with a lot of players that they just play through things,
right?
And they don't look good, and people jump on them. Justin Belknap is someone that I know was pretty injured for a lot of his career, and fans are like, "Why does he keep getting to play? And why do the coaches love him so much?" And he was probably a pretty good player at his core, but he was hurt so much that you just never got to see it, and you just go down as a not a good player. But there's a lot of players like that I think played through pain and just didn't look good, weren't playing at 100%. So you don't think of them as being very good, but they had a lot of injuries.
Right. Well, maybe one day we'll be able to tell the old story on Khalil Tate. Maybe.
Yeah.
Or we'll probably never see him again. I would venture that would be the guess.
Yeah.
More likely than not. Because we'll see. We'll see. Thank you for coming in today.
Absolutely.
Matt, always good to see you. I'll do the 1099 later. Thanks. Hey, Tom, good to see you this week.
All right, we'll see you next week too, probably Friday.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks on Eye of the Ball.